96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 1st of November, 2021, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. And I got a little frog in my throat. I'm a little hoarse from all that Halloween shenanigans that I didn't take part in because none of y'all little children called me to tell me where all the fancy parties and free candy was this year. Nonetheless, I hope that y'all took advantage of everything that you found, and I hope that communities found safe ways to help continue the tradition of making little children and not so little children smile this Halloween weekend. I also see that the Geek Out had a cosplay activity this weekend. I say that sounded like that was fun. Of course, I'm so old head now, I don't take my old bones out the house much, but I hope that those that participated had a great time. And I just want to say, man, y'all do a better job at marketing. There's a lot of young people in this town, and not so young people, that I know would have loved to have taken part in an activity like that. And if you guys don't know what cosplay is, that's when you dress up like a popular culture character, usually from comics or anime or animation, but it's lots and lots of fun. I had my superhero outfit this weekend, but I was unable to put it on due to the pandemic, but that is okay. I hope you guys had a great time. Now, today is the term open line comes to mind so quickly, but I want to try and sort of steer us towards what's in the paper this morning. So I want to call it What's in the News, but tell me what you want to talk about. Let's talk about it. Our call-in numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. And our Guardian Radio text line is 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. That's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. I'm going to tell you a bit about what I want to talk about this morning. You could tell me the same. So on my way into the studio this morning, I was stopped by one Mr. Arnold Rapp Wilson. Mr. Wilson listened to Friday's show where we talked about the infamous ghost story on Collins Avenue. I want to thank the callers and texters for sharing with us. I want to extend that show to this Friday. So tomorrow I'm going to give out a telephone number that you can WhatsApp or text and share your ghost stories. You could share your perspective or how you remember what happened long time ago on Collins Avenue. But Mr. Wilson brought me newspaper articles about that house and that incident. And like the young people say, he stood my head right up. And so, if he is available on Friday, we're going to read through the archives of Mr. Arnold Rapp Wilson to get a better sense of whether there is really ghosts on Collins Avenue. Some text here. It says, great show as usual. Hoarse voice and sinus problems don't exist anymore. Every problem is COVID. That's something else, eh? That's what big distractions do. They cause you to sort of lose focus on the other real parts of your life as well. And so the test for us, the test for humanity, right, is that we can focus on these multiple things at the same time. COVID should not cause us to lose sense of our humanity, our obligation to others. Because for some of us, it's like COVID come and we no longer have to consider the consequences of our actions on others. Another text here said, "Morning, Miss Green, the farmer, number man, please, I got you. Thank you for that reminder. I can call it in the break." Text says, "Aaron, 100% right. I didn't find out about the Geek Out event until last night. I was so mad. Tell the story of the..." I don't even know that. I can't pronounce that word. I could tell you the story of the Chickchani and the story of Monkey Tamarin, but not that great. I think that's an anime legend. Yeah, I can't. But text me back and tell me, and I'll share it with the audience. So, here's some more really, really great news in the paper this morning. I want to say congratulations to Sia Wright. She has claimed, the headline in The Guardian says, "Sia Wright claims New Providence 29th Senior Young Chef Competition." So Sia has won the New Providence portion of the 29th Annual Senior Young Chef Competition. Now, I know Sia Wright, and I know her family, and so, you know, I want to send out a special congratulations, but on behalf of all the vegans and vegetarians in this town, we want to say bam, 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 way to go. Thank you for highlighting the beauty of vegan and vegetarian dishes in this country. Sia Wright's vegan dishes earned her the top spot in this year's recent New Providence District round of the Bahamas Young Chef Culinary Senior Competition. The 11th grade student at Akefren International Academy, who aspires to become a marine biologist and study mammals, entered the competition to challenge her creativity in the kitchen. The contest, sponsored by the Ministry of Education, Mahatma Rice and Robin Hood Flour, challenged the students to use any of the rice and flour products to prepare a dish and dessert based on the theme, Bahamian culinary resilience, going back to our roots, which I find very interesting, to use rice and flour to go back to our roots. This is fantastic. Kingsway Academy student Shandon Bain was second in the competition. Bahamas Academy student Alicia Dixon was third. And the top three students move into the national round to compete against their counterparts in the Family Islands. Now, let me tell you why this story is so important. Not just because there are hundreds of hungry vegans always looking for something to munch on, not just because we are encouraging at a national level Bahamians to consider not just how they purchase food, but also how they consume food, right? We are encouraging people to consider healthier food options. But let me tell you a story about tourism in the Bahamas. In 2011, my business partner and I participated in the 2011, I think it was, Caribbean HIV conference. And while there, we met a group who were not just participating, but delivering, presenting at the event and hosting workshops. We met this group of vegans from St. Croix. More than just ITIL eaters, they were strict vegans. And we met them at like 2 days before the end of the conference. And in talking to them, we realized that they had not had a solid, decent vegan meal in the 4 to 5 days they had been in the Bahamas. And they were staying at the world-class Atlantis Hotel, and we couldn't figure it out. So our company committed to cooking them two and a half days worth of catered meals for the rest of their stay. And we can't even cook good. But just the effort and the variety of flavors that we brought to the table, these boys invite us to come live in St. Croix, man. It's like, come on down. We got space for you. But that's just, our food was just juxtaposed to the lack of options available. A couple of years before that, we hosted a dine-in event for our company, like a sampler. And a friend bought a friend who was couch surfing. This guy travels all around the world. And when he came to the event, we had a buffet style, pick up your food in the kitchen and then go sit on the porch. Well, 45 minutes after we all sat, we noticed that he was nowhere to be found. Where was he? He was sitting in the kitchen next to the food. And so when I said to him, I said, man, Otto, what's going on, man? You could come sit outside, hang outside. You could always come back in for another plate. Otto said, listen, I've been here for a week and a half, and the only thing I've eaten is peas and rice, iceberg lettuce and sliced tomato, and plantain. He said, I hope you don't think I'm being rude, but I'm sitting right here with this food, and I'm eating till I can't eat no more. See, I'm not saying that my food is the best vegan food in the country, because Sia Wright looked like she's trying to claim it all. But what I'm saying is, juxtaposed to the lack of options available, my kitchen tasted like heaven that night and for that group of people from St. Croix. So when the chef from Atlantis gives Sia this amazing compliment, he says, in fact, Chef Raquel Turnquest, education officer, congratulated the students for representing themselves, their families, and consumer science education departments. I'm just going to read this quick quote here. But she says, you are the brightest and the best of what we have. Continue with your studies. When you put in the time, you will get your reward. The whole idea behind this competition is to have a village type of concept around the knowledge, skills, and attitudes that our young chefs need to have. Industry, home, and school all working together to produce young chefs. Look here, big up Sia, big up all the students in that competition. Got a caller on the line. Let's go to that caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
A pleasure. Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning, Sparky. How you do?
Right here. I just had to rush it out. I had to touch base with you earlier this morning. I just wanted to compliment a gentleman down in Pride Estate. We know him as Mr. Lynx Mins. He's one of those guys that's always out in the front trying to do things for the neighborhood. He has this bus in the back there that at any time, any event happening on holidays, weekends, he would occupy his bus with all the kids in the neighborhood and take them to the beaches or take them on the park. I must say congratulations to him and all the parents of Pride Estate number 1 and 2 for taking time out for the kids this Saturday evening on our park to pick them up who wasn't there. And for my story, I was invited. I didn't get to go out there. I wasn't feeling well.
You're supposed to collect candy for the tours.
And the parents, the mothers and fathers of Pride Estate took time out to bless the children of the area with their Halloween treat on Pride Estate number 1's park. I would like to say a big shout out to Lynx Mins, lives right behind Sparky, and to all the mothers and the fathers for doing what they did for the kids of Pride Estate. Good job, guys. I heard it was a great event.
Thank you,
have
Sparky.
Have a good day. Oh, Halloween.
Yes, yeah, man. Thank you. Thank you, Sparky. And also, look out, Sparky. I'm going to connect you with Mr. Rap Arnold Wilson, so you could make some contributions to his archive. Look out for that message from me today. And thank you, Mr. Link Mins, and the residents of Pride Estates number 1 for making sure the little children could have some fun this Halloween. Got a text here that says, Kuchisake Ono is a ghost story legend from Asia, specifically in Japan, although she has been reported outside of Asia. That's the character that the person who wanted to go to the Geek Out was telling me about. And another text says, we need y'all to post up some vegan dishes. Been trying to eat healthier, but not much you could do without meat and low-carb content. Dear texter, you could do everything without meat and low-carb content. Do you know that people all over the world are clamoring for fresh coconuts? Because you could make you can make bacon by smoking coconuts. Listen, did you know that you could make the best conchless conch salad in the Bahamas with the sea moss that conch eat? You in the right place, cousin. Great show as usual, Miss Green. Climate change is a serious topic worldwide. How come in the Bahamas no media outlets talking about it? I know it ain't a popular topic like politics, but if the world end because of the climate of climate control, will we still try talk politics? Man, listen, climate change is big talk. You're absolutely right. Climate change and planetary shift, also an important topic. We need to sort of juxtapose them next to each other. Both are equally important. But don't go anywhere. I can continue talking about that. I got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Grant.
Good morning. How are you?
I guess I'm okay. I got a bone to pick with you, you know.
Okay, what happened?
When you cutting them blood rituals.
What blood? Look here.
Huh?
Well, listen, if the children did bring the candy, we would do it, but ain't no children bring the candy.
Yeah, more than trick or treat, though. Money or eat. Hey, what am I talking about, Aaron?
Yeah.
Well, I'm the boyfriends and them got the people here, and nails and all the other accessories, so that they got to be on the course and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The public got to pay for sanitary pad and thing, man.
Oh, no, no. Okay.
Why we got to, why the public must be, I mean, what about everybody instead of just the sanitary products for women? How about everybody?
Okay.
Because other than that, it's feminism. It's like.
You feel like it's okay.
What about the men, like men and boys and nothing?
Okay,
man?
Let's talk about it. Just quickly, briefly, let's talk about it. First of all, did you know that condoms are available for free across the island?
Mm-hmm.
Male condoms are available mm-hmm. for free across the island.
Mm-hmm. Females are paid for that?
Yeah, basically. The supply for female condoms is, I don't think exponential is the right word, but considerably lower, like access, the supply is considerably lower. The cost is considerably higher.
For the female?
Even though both people engage in intercourse, people require protection. But that's not really it. Here's what it is, right? Your population is roughly over 50%, 51, 52% mm-hmm. women. Mm-hmm. These women, through no cause of their own,
mm-hmm.
but because they were born women,
mm-hmm.
issue blood regularly.
I wonder how you can stay alive. Well, if a man is as much as a woman, a man will be dead.
Probably, right? I mean, they're tough, you know.
But they
ain't womb tough. You see what I'm saying?
Aaron, I say, but it got to be demonic because, if you're bleeding, they say three things. You have bleeding, and broken bones when you go to the emergency room.
Wow. But
I mean, it's urgent when it comes
to bleeding. How could it be demonic that women naturally bleed once a month?
Well, I mean.
What seems unnatural to me is that women would be forced to pay not just a price, because we could understand paying how much it cost.
Uh-huh.
But
yeah,
that people
$400 a pop.
Hold on, but
Aaron?
That people would want to make a profit over a solution to one of the most basic issues that over 50% of your population have to deal with.
Uh-huh. Hey, Aaron.
Now hold on.
Aaron?
I with you, you know. I hold on.
Yeah.
I prepared to bleed on everything.
Yeah.
If you cool with that, hold on. If you cool with that, I am prepared to not ask you to pay a cent.
Yeah, man, because, it's like you say, and I tell you no lie, right? Come on, man. All of us, we are born of who we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the responsibility of all of us to keep ourselves, man, okay? Come on, man.
So you tell me, hold on, pause. You tell me.
Not because women break through the glass.
Hold on, no. We haven't broken through the glass ceiling, but
through.
We haven't. I mean,
man, Aaron, stop.
Sometimes it looks like we've broken through it, pause. Sometimes it looks like we've breaking through it, but really what it is that a woman has moved. Like somebody's throwing a blow, and we moved.
Uh-huh.
And
it's an optical illusion.
And it's the blow that broke the glass. But pause. Because you've come here to express something, but you won't let me respond to you. And I'm really interested in this conversation. but mm-hmm. only if it's a conversation.
I'm willing to.
Right. But you, so you uh-huh. gotta hear me out. Because
okay, I'm listening.
Because to some people, what you're suggesting sounds ridiculous.
Come on, Aaron, come on. What you mean ridiculous?
It sounds ridiculous.
Aaron.
Yeah.
Aaron. Woman got their boyfriend.
They got, so the 11-year-old girl. What about, what about the 11-year-old girl?
The 11-year-old girl needs to learn from her mother. Her mother teaching her nail, hair, bleach and glow, them crow blinkers, and all the other accessories and things like they import. They are not important. Women got it wrong. What is important is, what you talking about, buy your sanitary products before you buy your hair, your nail, your wig, and then put your problem on mine, talking about they got to pay for this and pay for that because you must see one me go around stinky. That's what I'm going to say. Run into enough of that.
So you telling me, hold on, pause. Aaron. Listen, hold on, pause. Women are being very responsible. But
well, if they're being responsible, you shouldn't be advocating for no feminine hygiene products. They should know what they need.
They should
walk around and
that's right.
All over the place.
And they should be able to, hold on, pause. I can pause you permanently now. Because you seem very upset at women. You seem extremely...
Aaron.
No, pause. You forget the part where I say I permanently pausing you now. I just ain't hit the button yet. I pausing you in the conversation. Because... For me, I'm trying to figure out where you coming from. I don't want to assume. Are you suggesting that the 11-year-old girl that sees her period
has a mother until she's 18? Yes,
right. What about her father?
A father there for mother one, the father around. Normally a mother.
So no, pause. Pause. There's nothing. Pause.
Hey, Aaron. Normally a mother the one dog.
I gotta ask my producer to permanently pause you now. Pausing for me, Kermit. Thank you. I'm stunned by this reasoning. But here's where I really got stunned. Because it's almost as if you don't want to mention the father in this situation. See, it would be okay for us to entertain this if you were suggesting that the parents of the child have a responsibility to ensure that the child has the feminine hygiene products that they need. I thought you were going there, but that's not where you went. And I wanted us to have a conversation because I didn't want anybody to suggest that I was putting words in your mouth, right? But this is what I'm getting from you. You seem to be very angry at women who would suggest that other women need things. I don't have a problem with paying the cost. What I want to know is, why does there have to be a profit made on a product that women need? It's not like makeup, although society will very clearly tell you that the women that we deem to be ugly or unacceptable according to our beauty standards need makeup to be able to make it in this world. So let's not, be intellectually dishonest or disingenuous by suggesting that women don't need it when society clearly tells them they need it. But that's different from feminine hygiene protection. What of the 9-year-old girl, the 10-year-old girl, who comes into menstruation early, whose parents can barely afford to put food on the table or to pay rent, or they already don't have running water in their home because they're paying electricity and insurance and mortgage fees or rent? This is a weird, weird attitude that we have towards women. But when I say we, I don't think it's really we. I think it's something that you're going through, cuz. Because if a woman, if a mother has a responsibility in this way for her child, then so does a father. And there's nothing that the mother can do to remove that responsibility from the father. Nothing. Anyway, we got more callers on the line, and we got more texts as well. Kermit, let's go to one of those callers. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You there?
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm fine. I'm so refreshing. I think my friend wanted to overdo a good woman.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about greenhouse, man.
Greenhouse.
I don't talk about my country. I don't know if you watched the Greenhouse Conference and all of that. With the Guardian.
Oh, you mean the Environmental Conference?
Yeah, the Environmental Conference.
COP26?
Yes. Do you think they serious? Because do you think now, I don't know if you've been following it, Australia gave 50 years before they cut. China gave so many years before they cut their coal and what have you. You know?
Yeah.
So you think they're serious?
They look very, very serious on the surface.
Exactly.
They look very serious on the surface, but I'm not sure if they're serious is not the right question. I think the right question is, are the strategies they're engaging viable? Are they really viable? Can they achieve them?
No, because they don't want to talk about their nuclear weapons. They don't want to talk about their nuclear plan. They don't want to talk about none of that.
I don't like the idea that they're sort of shifting the responsibility for fixing the planet on individual people, right? It's like, let's look at the local context right now, right? We are in the midst of this pandemic. The doctors are saying we're not out of the third wave yet, right?
Right.
We have not reached 50% of our population vaccinated, and other jurisdictions already talking about booster shots, and we still trying to access vaccines to hit our face mark, right?
Right.
We're going into the new year. Prices, the cost of gas is going up drastically, right? And people are going to start telling you that you got to learn how to cut to manage your budget and to cut costs at an individual personal level, right? So the cost of gas is going up. You got to learn how to park your car or how to catch a ride with friends. But I don't see the state ensuring that a safe, effective, and reasonably priced public transportation system will be in place when people either are forced to put down their cars or make an environmentally conscious decision to put down their cars.
And I want to move quickly, Aaron, to get part of it, because our prime minister said that small states need money. The big state, which got what's happening with the small state like us, is coming from the big state. What is it for us? I mean, how can a small state, a big state, these companies or chemicals and things like that help the small state?
Would you mean how can they help us?
Would Aaron Green like to see these big state give to small state like us?
So in the instance of the Bahamas, scientists are projecting that sea level rise in the next 100 years will obliterate the vast majority of the space that we live on, right? If this is true, here's what I want to see. I want to see developed states make a $1 trillion fund for small island developing states, and here's what needs to come out of it. We need money to collect and preserve our culture. We need to create a population redistribution strategy. Along with that, we need to have a cultural and historic preservation strategy.
Recovery.
Hold on. Then on top of that, just because the islands are covered with water doesn't mean that we lose ownership of them. Then we need to figure out how we're going to protect and preserve what is here from predators, capitalist and imperialist predators.
The ARCA recovery too, because some of these greenhouse effects help cement the ARCA much, much stronger.
But we also need some change in some policies and things, because, see, we have the third largest ship registry in the world, right?
Yeah, we just added
two more ships to it. That sounds exciting until you begin to examine the responsibilities and obligations you take on when a ship of that size bears your flag. Also, you got to take into account the amount of damage that those ships do to your environment.
And that's about to get to that. I would like to see an agreement where the cruise ship industry is responsible for cleaning our ocean.
Absolutely. But look, that's some great points that you made. I got another caller on the line.
I could wrap it up. We got to talk more about this, because we need, in the next 2 or 3 years, to hire trained bohemians. It's a new industry. divers, they have to go in our beaches and ocean and clean them on a regular basis.
Well, listen.
You gotta talk about that.
I imagined that the burgeoning, that's a joke, the salvage industry would have compelled that, right? Would have evoked that, a culture.
And this is important for our mind growth. You need to educate the people. Mind growth.
But look at people.
I wrap it up. Mind growth is the thing that breaks down arrogance. If you talk more about that on another side, I'm going to the area.
Absolutely. And to my audience, to all the environmentalists out there, look at On the Clock is a space for these discussions. I've been putting the calls out there for people to join me in the discussion. Let's talk about it.
If you'd like to make a call.
There you go. We have to talk about it. This is one of the more important. What's the price of land if you got to wade through it? Caller, you're on the clock. Caller, you still there? I'm sorry that I lost you. Here's some more text. Great show as usual. I want to see someone make a healthy guava duff. But I think Messiah Wright was right on that case. They're out there. And you should start experimenting. You'll be surprised what you could make in your own kitchen. Another text, great show as usual. This is the Bahamas. Condoms are free because we don't use them. Our motto is condoms are for cowards. AIDS does not exist in the Bahamas. And Nassau is not a real place. Another text, great show as usual. We need to put down our car because we can't drive and also too much pollution. I see I got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hey, Green.
Hey, good morning.
How you doing, man?
Good.
Let me see if I can ask a sensible question, man. I'm fine, my man. You have me all weekend, ain't it? I was preparing my yard, and you were supposed to give me that number from last week, Friday.
Look here, okay.
I got to get that number, man.
Tell me something while I pulling it up.
Go right ahead.
What you seeing with Juju this year? Have you seen a lot of Juju? I seen Juju come up early everywhere.
Yeah, we got Juju T-Ron, yeah.
All right. Are you ready? Mr. Phil Davis Jr.'s contact number for the farming club is
426-8037. 426-8037.
3-3. 3-7. Yes, okay. And you can call him about all your farming needs. I'm aiming to have him back on this week so we can get back into the conversation about how to prepare your winter garden.
Yeah, he sounds very, very, very knowledgeable. That's the type of person that I get to converse with. But sometimes some of these fellas with these questions with this, because I don't know what planet they be coming off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You figure it out. All right, thanks.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Right. And I think these agricultural shows are going to be important to give people a greater sense of confidence as we move into this new year with concerns about the global food supply chain. And while that supply chain issue may not
be a
big problem for non-perishable items, you know, we have the capacity to stock up on our local supply of fruit and veg, and we should do this. I got a text here. Aaron, this man is chauvinist. You would swear think he didn't come from a woman. I feel sorry for his wife and daughters if he has one. He obviously hates women and wasn't breastfed as a child. Cut him off. Texter, thank you. I didn't want to cut him off because I'm a women's rights advocate and people already think I have no tolerance. Right? That's what I'm concerned about. People think I have no tolerance for ideas in that space that I don't agree with, or they think I don't agree with. And tolerance is a heavy word, right? And so I don't have a problem with him putting those ideas out there because I can respond to them. But I think it's important for other people to hear what their fellow citizens are thinking and feeling and to respond to them, because sometimes they need to hear other people say it. Another text says, why would the person selling those things not need to make a profit? Okay, see, there are lots of things that we can make a profit off of. Lots of things. why would you want to make a profit off of such a basic and fundamental need? Right? That's what I'm saying. Why do you can make profit on all kinds of things, but like diapers, feminine hygiene protection, and adult diapers for men and women, right? Why would you feel the need to make a profit on these? If anything should be state subsidized, that should be state subsidized. And why, okay, let's stop feeding the politicians 2 and 3 meats and use that money to subsidize these basic hygiene and feminine hygiene protection needs. Another text here that says, you have to forgive the tuna tart man, Miss Green. Thank you for that text. We always have to have space in our heart for forgiveness. This text says, hi, Aaron, I'm a fan, and on Friday I was by Wendy's, and a Chikchani was in the back of me on the drive through, and she would not wait, but I am sorry. I hope that Chikchani was in me, because sometimes I'll be on a drive-through line and I'll change my whole mind. I could be on that line for 20 minutes, and trust me, once I hit that spot, I change in my whole mind and doing something else. In fact, I'm looking for a flight to Mars for my next meal. I'm so committed, I wouldn't even eat on Earth for the next 24 hours. Another text says, Miss Green was driving in Fox Hill Friday. My car dropped in a pothole. Who is the MP for Fox Hill? Please fix it. The person says, is it Mr. Pinder? No, it's not Mr. Pinder, but we're not going to tell that joke right now. Caller, I come into you in a second. Give me 1 second. Ministry of Works, as you've noticed, we've had a change in the weather system. There's been a lot more water this time of year than expected, which means you got to send your pothole teams out. We also need to reconsider the policy of cold patching, because some of the roads have more cold patch in them than road. We want just road. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hi, Aaron.
Hey, good morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Let me begin with God for the gentleman. Mm-hmm. I do have to pause.
Yes.
When I was a teenager, the minute I hit 13,
mm-hmm.
my dad came and he asked, have you started your cycle?
Mm-hmm.
I was so embarrassed. But I said yes. And from that day until I got a job and I could supply my own needs,
mm-hmm.
every month my dad bought me toiletries. Some months he would buy it in bulk.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to imply that it's just a mother's responsibility when she did not procreate by herself, I know he wasn't loved by his mother, nor was he breastfed, according to your text. He's out of line. How as a man,
mm-hmm.
you feel comfortable leaving your young daughter vulnerable? Because a lot of young girls, they go out there and they find these boys because they can't get these things that they need at home.
Yeah.
And that leaves them susceptible to predators.
Yes.
As men, when your daughters are coming into their own, that is when you are mostly needed. Mothers, we nurture them from birth to that phase, and that is when you as a man step in and you provide what you need as a man, that guidance and that extra help for them to find their way. How do they know that they're loved? You are the first source of love. You are their first source of security. Thank you, Aaron.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you very much. And so that's why I didn't cut him, because maybe he needs to hear some other perspectives from other people. We're going to a break. When we get back, we're going to get through some more of these texts and some more of what's in the news. These guys say they're ready to end the state of emergency, but I don't see the end of COVID anywhere in sight. Anyway, stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We will be right back on the clock.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Aaron Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
Here we go.
J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents are the best.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green on this Monday, the 1st of November 2021. Let me get right back to the text line. It says, great show. We can ask for the VAT to be lowered, but the government raising the price on everything else. Is it too late to tell the government to leave VAT the way it is? I think that's a question that lots of people are asking. Lots of people are not certain whether we should take the risk. I, for one, would like to see some modeling. I'd like to see some projections of what we can expect. And I'd like to see a clearer explanation on the expected impact on people living just above the poverty line, on the poverty line, and below the poverty line, and what detailed strategies have been put in place to deal with that. There's a lot to be considered. And then the question of how long will it last? I think some of us may have been more comfortable with, let's try it for 1 year, look at the results, analyze them, and determine whether we're going to push it forward. Yeah. That's a question that I have. Should we keep it at 12% with exemptions, or should we push forward with the government's plan? I've got another text here that says, people are confusing profit and proper compensation for labor. Sanitary products have a cost worth from what it takes to produce. But I think when you, Ms. Green, say for profit, you are talking about people adding to that to make money or having government subsidize the cost of production, right? So I'm not saying that people should take their own resources and just make feminine hygiene products for free and give them to women. What I'm saying is that the feminine hygiene products should only cost what they cost to get them, to produce them and get them to the consumer, right, to the store. That's it. No profit should be made on top of what it cost to make the product. That's like charging people for life-saving health care. Like, why would you charge somebody for keeping them, for keeping them alive? Like, it just seems so capitalist and unchristian and icky. I don't know. I could be honest. I grew up privileged where I think that healthcare is a human right. And why should politicians get perks in a country that they govern and people cannot access adequate and reasonable healthcare? Just doesn't make sense to me. I got another text. Need to get rid of VAT and get income tax with higher tax on the higher earning persons, companies, and entities. Yes. I kind of agree with that as well. Another text says, drop VAT to 10% and raise bread basket items to 2%. Still adds up to 12%. Now that sounds like PLP math, but I may like that. I mean, I would ask a serious accountant or economist to give us a sense of how that would break down. But I agree. Why not continue to drop VAT to 10%, but only raise the price on bread basket items slightly, and take VAT off of feminine hygiene products entirely. Another text. says, I think we in the Bahamas need to take a break on having kids. Most of us can't take care of ourselves, much less a child or another human being. Cost of living is too high. Yeah, I mean, at first on the surface, that sounds cool, but then I think what we're doing is we are suggesting that the solution to the problem is people not having children, when the solution to the problem is people who have a legal or an ethical obligation to do something like provide good governance, ensure that systems work, right? Ensure that healthcare, education, housing, transportation, public safety, citizen security, to ensure that these systems work. Like, maybe we should shift the blame on them, because when you say, you know, we having a difficulty taking care of our children because the cost of living is too high, I think of a 30-year energy crisis that has still not yet been resolved. It appears as if nobody is ever going to resolve it. We will never know why our electricity bill costs the same as our mortgage every month for decades. Like, that's the root of the problem. Not people have insurance. Another text, I have a huge issue with VAT on most things, even though it shouldn't be here at all. But VAT being added to medications is an absolutely horrible idea. It's not just that. I mean, yeah, that is a horrible idea. There's another concerning thing. The question of the VAT reversal on residential homeowner premiums. And I tell you what, I always tell people, if you want to see something shift in your country, get the insurance company involved, convince them that it affects them, and then you will begin to see real shifts, real questions, real concerns in your country. But I saw today in the Tribune, headline on the bottom of the front fold, insurers anger at VAT move on homeowners. Now, I saw that headline in the... Did I see it in The Guardian? I thought I did, with a very strong word that I wasn't even sure I could read on air. But I think it's still in the Tribune Business section. The insurance community is very, very concerned about this decision as well. They use a very strong word. But more importantly, I want them to explain for the layman what it is they mean. It's a very specific term that they use when they talk about hurricane liability. Right here it is. Insurers have warned the government it would be totally asinine to reintroduce VAT on residential homeowner premiums, given that this will create a multi-million dollar hurricane liability for itself. Please explain that clearly for us. Mr. Anton Sanders from Royal Star Assurance. This isn't something that we could just, a discussion we could just leave in the hands of the industry stakeholders. This is something very, very important. And while governments don't necessarily listen to its citizens, they definitely listen to the insurance industry. Another text, Ms. Green, I hope you noticed the Bahamian people got swung by the PLP on the VAT reduction. To me, we are in a worse position than we were before. I hate the VAT on house insurance. The PLP is full of it. Well, dear press secretary, if ever there was time for a press briefing with an opportunity for a far clearer enunciation of the way forward on your VAT policies, now is the time. There's plenty things to talk about. You don't mind the people. This is something we want to talk about. In fact, we want to remind you that it's not just your decision alone to make on our behalf. Like our American brothers and sisters in the North, There will be no taxation without representation. And since you be mimicking all things American these days, it's important for the political class to remember that. One last text. Good morning, Ms. Green. Have you ever heard about dogs seeing ghosts or spirit as the reason why they are howling or making noise during the night? Have I ever heard about it? Man, I live with some dogs used to see spirits all the time. All the time. See, there's I can bring back the science for you, right, on that. But a layman's explanation. Our human capacity for sight, right? We can only see a mere fraction of what exists around us. That's the limited capacity of our vision, our eyesight. So there are tons of things that exist that we can't see, but we know they are there. And so, of course, it's possible the dogs could be seeing spirit in the middle of the night. Of course, it could be possible. But you don't watch nothing. You got faith. You got faith, and you'll be all right. Anyway, this was a exciting and eventful discussion this morning. To my caller and his concerns about feminine hygiene protection, we're going to continue this conversation. We have to continue this conversation. It's one of the most important conversations out there. I hope you weren't offended by some of the responses from callers and texters. It's a very strong position you put out there. It's very strong. But I do hope you continue to call in, and I do hope you have a great day. Same to the entire audience. Thank you for joining me today. Hope you had a great weekend. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Levon Miller and Unleashed is up next.
FM, Nassau, Bahamas.